Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
I need to start in 2 Timothy 4, verse number 1, because I need to explain something to you this morning that is very important. And I'm telling you this not to talk about other pastors or other churches. I'm telling you this to talk to you about me as your pastor. Is that okay? What others do, I have no control over, and I have nothing to say about it. I can only tell you what I about here. Is that okay? 2 Timothy 4, verse number 1. This was at the end of Paul's life. He writes to Timothy, his son, and he writes him a very powerful letter, and he charges him in the presence of God. Look at this. It says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a very powerful charge in the original language. In fact, you know, some of the ancient Greek mythology and all that stuff, that word charge there was used as though this charge comes directly from God. This is the heaviest form of charge that you can have. So he's charging him, and he says, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Now, I think at this moment we need to start by saying we should probably pay attention to what's about to be said. Is that okay? Who is Timothy? Timothy is Paul's young apprentice. He was running his own church in Ephesus now. This became probably the biggest church of that age. Timothy was a young man, and Paul is saying to him, listen, you need to do a few things. I'm charging you in the presence of God. You know, and he's basically suggesting there that, listen, I have to do this because me and you both are going to be judged. So I want you to take note. Look at what he says. Preach the word. I can do that. Amen. Okay. Preach the word. By the grace of God, we can all preach the word. Okay. Be ready in season and out of season. Now, here comes the part where most people get a little bit upset. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. Who's that? That's the church. They will not want sound doctrine anymore. But according to their own desire, because they have itching ears, they will heap for themselves teachers. In other words, they will prefer to listen and follow people that will give them something that will make them feel really good. The pastor's responsibility is to do these things, to preach, to be ready in season and out of season, to convince, to rebuke and exhort. I'd love to break it all down for you, but what I'm trying to tell you is that the message will not always be gentle. There are times that the message has to come across so that it causes you to stand at a crossroads and make a decision. Because let me tell you like this, you know, between services, I was talking to my wife and Naomi's assistant Hannah, and we were discussing, you know, the message a little bit, and you know, how you know, why do I need to do this? Because I want you to go to heaven. I want you to get there. I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want our teenagers to go to hell. This is real. We don't have church because it's fun. It is fun, but we don't have it because it's fun. Like, this stuff is, this is real. These are people's lives. These are people's destinies, their purpose, and eternity's in the balance. So I can come down here and tell you nice things every week, and we can all be encouraged and lifted up and joyful and go home and carry on sleeping with everybody. Because we're under grace. And then you ask the young people today, well, how do you feel? I don't feel anything. Why? Because we've forgotten some of the foundational principles. And sometimes, as a pastor, and I don't enjoy it, I have to bring the word to you, and it's not always easy to swallow. Now, I'm not setting you up for a tough morning. Amen. That's going to be great. Praise God. But I'm going to give you some doctrine this morning, some foundational doctrine, because it is absolutely necessary. One of the doctrines we'll be discussing this morning happens to be, well, we won't be discussing it today, we'll do it in a few weeks, but one of them is baptism, bzz, plural. But water baptism is very much a part of that. In fact, there are not any examples throughout the New Testament of anyone who gets saved that doesn't get water baptized. So water baptism is very important. I'm not saying that if you get saved and die the next day, you're going to hell because you didn't get water baptized. I don't believe that, but I do believe it's a necessary thing to do. Because it's clear throughout Scripture, and you'll see even today when we talk about repentance, how baptism's always somewhere there in the mix. So I have to lay a foundation this morning with these foundations, but I'm going to show you how this is what we should start with, then move past this, because every one of us should begin to mature. But if we don't discuss these elementary principles, the Bible basically says you cannot move on. Now let me show it to you real quick, and then we'll get straight into the first one this morning, which is repentance from dead works. We'll start in Hebrews 5, verse number 12, because I want to show you how Paul brings this out. Or we believe it's Paul, but it may not have been the writer of Hebrews. A lot of people think it's Paul. Some people think it isn't. Who knows? Amen. All right. Hebrews 5, verse number 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So he's saying that there's, by now, you know, many of us should be at the point where we're actually able to teach. Not only are we, you know, should we be receiving, but we should be able to teach. But because some of us have not really matured, we still like babies, we still need milk. We can't actually move on to the more solid meat, the more solid food. And then he goes on in Hebrews 6, verse number 1. Basically, it's the end of Hebrews 5 there. It says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Now, I want you to understand. So he's saying, we move from the elementary principles, which really is actually the milk. But these are the elementary principles, the basics, the foundation. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation. So it starts by speaking about elementary principles. He wants us to move on from there, but he's about to reveal to us what those elementary principles are. He's about to show us that these elementary principles are actually very important because they are foundational. They are foundational. In other words, your faith, your beliefs, your religion, what you believe should be obviously by faith. But it should be built on this foundation. These doctrines are our foundational principles that every believer should understand. He says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, plural, of laying on of hands, of resurrection, of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And then he says this, and this we will do if God permits. In other words, we cannot move past here unless God permits it, because if you don't get this, you are going to set yourself up for what we call shipwreck. Because it's like trying to build a house without a solid foundation. Guess what happens? The house will not stand. Without these core foundations, it is very evident that a believer will struggle in his walk. Because these foundations literally are our foundations of what we believe. It's very interesting because the one we're going to start with today is the one that the church right now rejects more than anything. Which is frightening, number one. And number two, definitely a strategy of the enemy, especially in these end times. And I'll say that again, in these end times. I don't know how long that is, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 100 years, but most certainly we are in the end times. 1,000 years, I don't know. But we are in the latter part of God's timeline for humanity as we know it. So let's take a look. 6 foundations. Repentance from dead works. Faith towards God. Doctrines of the doctrine of baptisms. The laying on of hands. The resurrection of the dead. And eternal judgment. Now, What I want to say, and this is very important, and you'll understand this morning, because many of us struggle even with the first one, which is the repentance from dead works, because what the heck does that mean? Okay? Well, the truth is that all of these are actually kind of phrased into three categories. You must understand that initially this language was written without commas, without any exclamation marks, without anything like that. It was one letter. So you need to put them into phrases, and you'll see it as I begin to teach it week after week for the next few weeks. You will see how they go together. For example, the first one would be repentance and faith. Repentance and faith, and dead works is right in the middle, sort of attached to both. Attached to both, teaching us about repentance and then teaching us about faith, because dead works works with both of them. Or let me rather say this, should not work with both of them. Okay. The second one would be baptisms and laying on of hands. Baptisms and laying on of hands. And there's a reason for this, because this moves you from salvation to becoming empowered and equipped and leaving the past behind you. Then the next phase begins to talk to you about what's coming, which is the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And every one of us needs to understand these three things. Listen, guys, I need you to be with me this morning. Please, I need your help this morning. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Hallelujah. I can tell you now, the devil does not want me to preach this word today. I can tell you now that you will love this word, but I can tell you right now, listen to me. This may not be my nicest message. This may not be the best message, but this is probably one of the most important I have ever preached this morning. I'm busy talking about stuff that's so heavy, and I look and there's kids on their phone. I want to go berserk. Yeah, that's okay. If it wasn't the adult church, if it was youth, I'd make them sit on the stairs there. Take their phone and make them sit right there. Amen. Do you know that one of the commandments is to honor your father and your mother? Kids don't honor their parents anymore. That's true. And do you know that it's the first commandment with a promise? Do you know what the promise is, young people? Long life. But our kids have become seared. Their conscience has become seared. They just... And I love the young people so much. But I see them. And the reason why they struggle the way they do is because they haven't caught the first principles. The foundations. Because the reality of the fact that we will all stand before God one day has not quite hit home yet. You will stand before Him. You will. And it'll either be for reward or it will be for judgment. How many of you say the reward? Stand before Jesus for the reward. Amen. A saved, washed in the blood of Jesus, a believer. But don't for one second think that because one day in church you lifted your hand and said, I believe, that that gives you a free ticket to heaven. Amen. All right. Please do me a favor. Try your best to stay till the end if you can. Okay, because there's one verse right at the end that is so critical right now for the body of Christ. Is that okay? Yes. All right, let's get into it. Hebrews 6, verse number 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith towards God. The first is repentance and faith. Let me show you why you cannot separate the two. Mark 1:15. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent is first, believe is second. First comes repentance, then comes faith. But the two are connected. The two are connected. However, we must first repent. This is the message that was preached by John the Baptist. This was the message that was preached by Jesus. This was the message that was released by the early church, continuing out throughout the book of Acts, and I'll show it to you this morning. But the message starts with repent. That's why the phraseology between repentance and repentance and faith are connected. They are connected. Acts 20:21, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so the first thing we need to do is we need to understand that faith and repentance go hand in hand. But what does it mean when it says repentance from dead works? What are dead works? Dead works is anything, any form of work that is done outside of faith. Anything you try to do to get you saved outside of faith is dead works. Nothing that you can do, I'm going to say it again, nothing that you can do will be able to get you saved. The only way to salvation is through faith, is through repentance. There is no other way. Dead works will not get you there. Listen, works that you do when you are saved produce fruit. Nothing wrong with that. But don't think that your works are going to produce salvation. In other words, there is no ritual, there's no tradition, there's nothing that you can do. There's even obedience to some point will not lead you to salvation or to true repentance, because it doesn't. There's only one way. There's only one way. Is that okay? So we often think that giving money to the poor or being a really good person or doing some traditional ritual will produce salvation or get us to become saved or walk closer to God. In some ways, sometimes it does help you if you do things, but the truth is that it does not get you saved. So what is he saying? First of all, repent, which means to turn away, okay? And I'll explain this to you a little bit more later on, from dead works. So in other words, the only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ, is not of yourself. There's no works that you can do that will produce salvation. Turn away from dead works. Okay, when we talk about faith, I'm going to really get into the dead works thing. But let me give you a scripture real quick. Okay. Ephesians 2 verse number 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So in other words, you cannot do anything to get salvation. You cannot do anything to inherit salvation. Let me give you a story that I believe will help you understand this a little better. Let's go to Mark 10 verse 17, a popular story in the Bible about the young rich ruler. Watch this now. Mark 10, 17. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running. I want you to look at his approach and his style of coming to Jesus. Are you guys okay? He comes running. He kneels before him and he asks him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may have eternal life or inherit eternal life? So it's not the young man in town with lots of influence that walks up to Jesus and goes, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? No, he comes emotionally with emotion and some sincerity, and he falls down before Jesus and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What do I need to do? And I love Jesus' response, because Jesus never looks at the outward appearance of what's busy happening. Jesus looks at the heart. Watch Jesus' response. Now, as he was going down to inherit, next verse. So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. How random. Like, many people said you were good, Jesus, and you never said that before. Like, kind of, it's like really random. Why? Because he's already busy provoking him. He's already seeing what's in his heart. He already knows the question that's about to come. Because his perception is wrong. good teacher. Because he looks at the outward, doesn't look at the inward. Have a look, next verse. You know the commandments. This is Jesus' response. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Big one. And he answered and said to him, Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, One thing you lack. Don't go to the next verse after this. One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come take up your cross and follow me. Let's go back and just think about it. Let's go back one verse. One more verse. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal. Listen, this guy's doing it right. He's doing all the right things right. But when Jesus was asked once before, what is the most important commandment, how does he answer? Don't you find it strange that he doesn't answer him like that, yeah? Why? Because he wants to see what's in his heart. So, you're doing all the works, you're obeying the law, but yet there's a problem. So Jesus says to him, to see what's in his heart, why don't you go and sell everything you have and come and follow me and let's take a look together at what it says. Okay. Are you guys okay? Still early in Vero Beach. Amen. We'll get you out when I'm done. And he answered and said to him, Teacher, verse number 20. And he answered and said to him, Teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth. And Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said, One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And come, take up your cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were astonished at his word. But Jesus answered again and said to them, Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. See, the guys are not getting it, so he's saying it again. And he says, It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. What you need to understand is he's not talking about the eye of a sewing needle. He's talking about the eye of the needle, which is in the wall in Jerusalem. I can't remember which wall it is, but there's a wall in Jerusalem that is a big wall that a camel can actually fit through. It's just very difficult because how many of you know camels are stubborn? So it is with rich people sometimes. They stubbornly do not want to give up the things they have, the possessions of this world. Their heart belongs to mammon and not to God. So yes, you can obey and do all the things right, but unfortunately, you need to give your whole heart to him. And this has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with the heart. Don't miss the point. Don't do the works. The works won't get you to heaven. It's all about the heart. Repent from the works. Listen, you cannot commit murder. You can honor your parents. You can do all of that stuff right. But if your heart is far from him, you will not make it. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished at this saying. Watch this now. And they were greatly astonished, saying amongst themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus gives the most powerful answer because he knows their thoughts. And Jesus looked at them and said, With men it is impossible, but with God, for with God, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. What's the key? The key is this. Yes, for us, this is impossible. But with him in our lives, nothing is impossible. Because through him, all things are possible. If you love him, if you give your heart to him, if you follow him, listen, you will still make mistakes. But it's because of his grace that you will have sufficient grace to get you through. But your heart is drawn towards him, is for him, loves him, serves him, gives everything for him. And then you will produce works that are worthy of repentance. Well, all right. Let's keep going. Are you guys okay? Yeah. All right. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God. That's the key, guys. There's nothing you can do. I've given you that verse. Just wanted to give it to you again. Repentance is the beginning point to salvation. It is the beginning point. It is not dead works that will get us saved. Only faith brings life to your lives. Only faith brings life to your lives. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. All right. So we know and we understand the works, but we have to understand that in order for us to walk this walk and to fulfill our destiny and purpose and to make it to the end, there is a beginning point. There is a beginning point that even comes before faith, and it begins with repentance. It begins with repentance. What is repentance not? Repentance is not emotional. I'm going to say that again. Repentance is not emotional, because oftentimes people will cry and fall down and all that stuff, and that's not true repentance. That is sorrow. That is maybe even some form of remorse, but it's not true repentance. Repentance produces change. Repentance changes you. I'm not saying that when we cry and stuff like that, that we are not being repentive, because there is scripture to back up that there are times where it is repentive. But let me give you an example of someone that was very sorrowful and didn't repent. Are you okay? All right. Matthew 27, verse number 3. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, this is Judas after he betrayed Jesus, was remorseful. The word remorseful there is regret, full of sorrow, very sorrowful, and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Repentance would have caused him to change. There was no repentance. There was remorsefulness. There was sorrow. And he went and he killed himself. That's not repentance. That's sorrow. That's remorse. Okay? 2 Corinthians 7, verse number 10. Let me show you that there are situations where you can be emotional about it and it can still produce change. 2 Corinthians 7:10. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation. Not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. So you need to understand that you can be sorrowful. So don't think when someone's crying that they're not being repentive. But what I'm saying is that true repentance brings change. Is that okay? In order for us to understand what the word repent really means, we need to have a look at the meaning in both the Greek and the Hebrew to get the full understanding of what it actually means. The Greek word for repent is the word metanoia. Metanoia. And what it basically means is to change your mind. Is to change your mind. So if your mind is of this world, how many of you know that we should renew our minds? We should renew our minds. We should change our minds. We should do what God's word says. And we should not be submitted to the things of this world or fashioned to this world. Submit to what the world says, because the world says you can do what you like. The world says everything is acceptable. It's okay if you're a boy that you can be a girl. The world says all this stuff. But the Bible has something different to say. So we should renew our minds. We should change our minds according to what the word says. That's the first thing when it comes to repentance. The Hebrew meaning of the word is also very powerful. It's the word SWB, and they pronounce it Shin Vav Bed. Shin Vav Bed. And what it basically means is to change direction or to turn back, or listen to this, to return to. To return to. Which suggests that you were once there. So that means that you might have to repent more than once in your life. The children of Israel were children of Israel. They were covenant children of Israel, but had to repent all the time, because they strayed from God very often, and the way back was repentance. Don't think there's anything different now. Don't think because we have a better covenant that we don't have to repent. No, in fact, if anything, this better covenant should cause us to repent even faster. Because you want nothing to come between you and God. You want nothing to affect your relationship with God. So your desire, your heart should always be one of repentance. So to change the way we think and to go in the other direction, to turn away from it. That's what repentance is. Amen. Mark 1:15. And saying the time is fulfilled, the gospel of the kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repentance comes before faith. Repentance comes before faith. Here's the problem. Here's the big problem. We have taught that all you need is faith. If you slip your hand up and only believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're okay. That's all you need to do. But it's very clear through the scripture, and I'll show you in just a minute, that first you repent and then you believe. First you repent and then you believe. If you don't, and you don't get ingrained in you that repentance is when you get saved and also a way of life for you, because you will sin again. You will only think that you just have to believe and that's okay, and you will miss it. Your foundation will be cracked. Your conscience will become seared. Are you guys okay? Let's go take a look at Jesus' message. Is that okay? Watch this now. How many of you think Jesus' message was the right message? Okay. But before we teach Jesus' message, let's have a look at John the Baptist. Let's start where the gospel started. Let's start with John the Baptist. Matthew 3, verse number 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John's message, John's baptism, was a baptism and a message of repentance. Getting the children of Israel to repent and turn back to God. Getting the children of Israel to repent and turn back to God. The children of Israel were covenant children. The message starts here in the church, guys. Yes, we must get unbelievers to repent, but we also need to repent. Because we have to do the first things right. We have to make him Lord of our lives. That means every area. That means my family. That means every area. Let me show you something quickly. It's not in my notes. Can you please go to Deuteronomy 6, verse number 5? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Next verse. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Next verse. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Next verse. You shall bind them as a sign on your hands, and you shall be and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Next verse. And shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Amen. You shall teach your children. You shall talk about it all the time. Our motive, our desire, our passion, the reason we do this is because we love him with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. We love him. We want nothing to come between us. It has to start in the house of God. If God says something is evil, listen, it's evil. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care what political party says it. I don't care what leader says it. There's only one true leader that all authority has been given to, and his name is Jesus. And when they asked him, what's the most important commandment? He quoted Deuteronomy 6, verse number 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. He made a way. By dying on that cross, he made a way for us so that we could be and we could have salvation, so that we could be attached to him, connected to him, covenant children of his. And that way was repentance. John prepared the way. The what way? The way of repentance. The way of salvation. Look, John continues to preach in Matthew 3, verse number 8. Matthew 3, verse number 8. Okay, I'm going to read it out of the New King James, and then I'm going to read it out of the NLT, just because it's beautiful. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourself, we have Abram as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abram from these stones. Let's read it out of the New Living Translation. Matthew 3, verse number 8. Watch this. Prove by the way you live. Prove by the way you live that you have repented of sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, we are safe. For we are descendants of Abraham. Or we have grace. We have grace. We don't need to worry. We're fine. Look at what he says. Don't just say to each other, we are safe, for we are descendants of Abraham. That means nothing. For I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. The key is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. When you do that, when you do that, how many of you have a relationship with somebody that you love? If you love somebody, really love somebody, I'm going to use my dad as an example. I really love my dad, my earthly dad. I go and I get his car keys, and I go for a ride in his car, and I crash his car. And the next morning I wake up, and my dad has a really nice car. So I get up in the morning and I go and I say, hey, Pops, how you doing, man? And they say, no, I'm fine. Oh, just by the way, I just want to let you know I wrecked your car. Have a sweet day, Dad. I'm a covenant kid. We good, right? How do you think that's going to go down? I'll tell you in my house how that will go down. Spare the rod and spoil the child, church. True story. If you love your father and you wreck his car, the next morning you're going to wake up and go, Dad, I am so sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I messed up. And he might be upset with you, but he'll say, son, it's okay. Don't do it again. You're grounded. Whatever. But the point I'm trying to make is that let's be real. Do we really believe that with God we can just do what we want and it's okay? He's good with it? Or do you have a true relationship with him? A true relationship will bear fruits of repentance. Because whether we like it or not, with man, it's impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. So in him, in relationship with him, walking with him, loving him, serving him, that's how we overcome. You cannot overcome your sins, your weaknesses, and whatever else you're trying to do on your own. You can only overcome because of the blood of Jesus. It's because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony that they overcame. Are you with me, church? All right, I need to move because it's getting late. But you don't mind, right? This is the late crowd. You've already had 2 cups of coffee. Amen. Let's take a look at the message Jesus preached, Mark 1:14. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the gospel of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repentance comes first, faith comes second. Jesus' message, the message of repentance. Before Jesus went up, before he ascended, after he was risen from the grave, he goes to his disciples. He gives his disciples a message. Have a look at what he says. Then he said to them in Luke 24:46. Luke 24:46. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. What's the message that needs to be preached throughout the world? I can't hear you guys. The message of repentance. Jesus' instruction to his disciples was to go out and preach the message of repentance, and it would start in Jerusalem and go throughout the world, and it's never ended. Okay, that was John the Baptist. That was Jesus' message. Let's take a look at what happened on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2, verse 37. Peter gets up. The Holy Spirit's poured out. Peter gets up. He begins to preach a powerful message on the day of Pentecost. And once the people had heard this message, this is the response. Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? What must we do? What must we do? This message is true. This Jesus you're preaching to us, this is real." And have a look at Peter's response. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Listen. Listen to how powerful this is. Because he starts from the beginning. He says the first thing you need to do is you need to repent. And then he says you need to believe. And then you need to be baptized. The second step is baptism. And then he says you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. That has not changed today. This is still the way God does it right now. We still have to believe. We still have to repent. We have to be baptized, and we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Nothing has changed from the very first outpouring of the Spirit that began the church in the early days. But yet we choose to leave a lot of that out. And some of those other foundations we'll touch in the coming weeks. Acts 17, verse number 30. What about Paul? Paul, the greatest grace teacher in our time. Acts 17, 30. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. All men everywhere to repent. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by men whom he has ordained. He has given assurance to this to all by raising him from the dead. What we need to understand, if we look at verse number 31, Jesus is our Savior, yes? But he is also a judge. And he will judge. He is also our Lord, which means we need to surrender our lives to him. When we give our hearts to him, do we make him Lord? Do we know who he is? Yes, he's good. Yes, he's kind. He's loving. He's mercy. All those things. Thank God for it. But understand who you are dealing with. Is that okay? It's so quiet this morning. Everybody's quiet. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:31, it says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." What does that mean? Repent. Look at your own heart. Examine yourself. Even when we take communion, the Bible says that you should examine your own heart life. Why? Because it tells the story of what Jesus did on the cross. By telling that story, it causes something to take place. This is a story that is told to believers. People who take communion are believers. What should they do? Examine their own hearts. Examine their own lives. And in that moment, turn from whatever it is that's causing you to break your relationship with God. Whatever's happening in your life that's causing you to stray. Whatever's happening in your children, in your family. Listen, you need to teach your children repentance. You need to teach your loved ones repentance. You need to teach them that when we mess up, you have to go to God and say, "God, forgive me." Otherwise, if we just teach them we're under grace, they will walk around thinking, "I can do what I like." Amen. We're talking about repentance in Vero Beach this morning. Acts 20, verse 20. Let's see what Paul says again. "How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house." In other words, he taught you publicly and from house to house. So he was teaching this message in houses. He was teaching this message in churches. He was teaching this message in courtyards. He was teaching this message everywhere. This message was, he was teaching everywhere. He was testifying to Jews and also to Gentiles. What? What was the message? Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. They go hand in hand. Amen. Acts 26, verse number 19. One more story and then I'm done with this, and I've got two more scriptures and we'll close. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works befitting repentance. In other words, the way they live will tell the story that they truly have repented. And they will live a lifestyle of repentance, because we still make mistakes. I'm so thankful that I can repent, that I can go to God and I can say, Father, forgive me. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that your grace is sufficient for me. And I teach this to my kids. When I mess up in my house, I told you this last week, I go to my kids and repent to them for the way I behave. It's only happened once or twice. I'm not that bad, amen? And I do this, and it's teaching her a lifestyle of repentance. So she will always be free in her relationship with God. Freedom is not the ability or not the right not to repent. Freedom is knowing who you are in Christ and being able to understand who you are and the privileges and the benefits that you have as being a covenant child of God. It's called relationship. What do we have that the Old Testament saints didn't have? They didn't have the relationship with God that we have, because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We have Him. He convicts you. You know when you do something wrong. I don't need to tell you. He'll tell you. But if we get taught that we don't need to do these things, we can get into trouble. Let me show you. I'm almost done. You guys okay? All right. No jumping and screaming today. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12 verse 14 in the NLT version, please. Hebrews 12, 14 in the NLT version. Work at living in peace with everyone. And work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fail to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. I want to stop there. Take a look at what it says. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Why and how does this root begin to grow? Next verse. Make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as the firstborn son for a single meal. For a single meal, Esau sold his birthright. Next verse. You know that afterwards, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. Stop there. You can leave it there, but I want to talk to you. This world will pull hard at you. In one moment of weakness, Esau gives up his birthright for a meal. How many of us will give up everything God has done and we sin and do stuff we shouldn't do, right? Just before this, he warns you that you don't allow a root to grow in you. Because we often, if we don't ever repent, even forget the things we have done against God. And they will cause something to grow in you, and one day you will never understand why you cannot deal with it. And take a look at what happens in Esau's story next. You know that afterwards, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. Why? Because it was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. Church, you are here right now. It's time for us as a church to turn back to God. It's time for us to have a salvation that is worthy of true repentance. That when we give our lives to Him, our lives will tell the story that we truly are changed. You will fall again. And when you do, get up and repent again. In other words, when you do, get up and turn from it again. And if you fall again, do the same thing. Get up and turn from it again. But continue to have a real relationship with the one that you love more than anything. Does it make sense? The answer, listen, the answer to our nation, and it starts in the household, in the home, is only one thing. I'll tell you what it is. It's the church.
Amen.
It's the church. Watch this. Why do I say that? You, as the church, are the answer to our political problems in this nation. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who is my people? God's people, God's covenant children. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. If you want breakthrough, if you want change in your family, in your city, in your business, it starts with you. It comes down to one thing. It's time for us to get serious with God. Listen, judgment is true and real, and I want no one in this room to have to face the wrath of God. I want everyone in this room to walk a life that is worthy of repentance, to walk in joy and freedom and the fruit and the pleasures of the things of God, not the things of this world, where you know that one day when you put your head down and you go to be with Him, there's no doubt that you will go and be with the King of Kings. It's not a matter of, well, what's going to happen to Him? I don't really know. No, when you put your head down, you know that you'll be with the King. You know that you'll be with Him. Your life is more valuable than for me to come up here and tell you can do what you like. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's go home. I'm so tired of it. Someone's got to get up and say, listen, it's time for you to turn from those things that do not, that God has a problem with. Can we bow our heads for just a moment? I'm almost done. Father, this is a foundational principle in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 6, verse number 1. It starts with repentance. And Father, it's like when Paul saw this, or whoever the writer of Hebrews was, he recognized in the church that these foundations were missing because their lives were shipwrecked. They were making no progress. They were, yes, coming to church, but they were making no progress. Their lives were not worthy. Fruits of repentance were not being born. Because people's consciences were seared, thinking that they could do what they like, live how they like, and that there just is no consequences. I mean, your word declares that with men, these things are surely impossible. Oh, yes, they are. Because we will make mistakes. But your word also declares, but with God, all things are possible. And so when we come to the realization that we cannot do it, but if we give our hearts to you, you will do it through us, because it will become effortless. Because our desire will be to please you, to love you, to serve you with all of our hearts. Father, I pray this morning, even if there's only 5 people here, that will stand in agreement with you to repent for my household, for my city, for my business, for my nation, for our church. Father, we as a church stand together this morning. We repent. We turn from our wicked ways. We say, Father, the things that you call holy, they are holy. The things that you call evil, they are evil. Father, we will obey what you say. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Our hearts are turned towards you. Lord, we know we can't do it, but in you we know anything can be done. We don't want to do works. We just want to surrender. Render our hearts to you.
Hallelujah.
We believe, but first we repent. We repent from ungodliness. We repent for not obeying your word. We repent for taking you for granted. We repent, Father, for changing things to suit our own desires. We repent, Father, from anything that we've done that has sinned against you in any way. Right now, in this place, we repent. Lord, we want to see revival. I want it to start in my house, Lord, with my children, with my wife, with myself. I want us to be on fire for you. Lord, where it begins to touch my neighbors, it begins to touch the people around my neighborhood, it begins to touch my community, it begins to touch our city, and it begins to touch our nation. But it has to start with your people who are called by your name, who will choose to turn, who will choose to believe that your word is truth, that you are, yes, a merciful God, but you are also the God of all creation, the one of all things. Everything was made through you. Even our breath is because of you. And so we repent, Lord. We repent and believe. Would you stand with me, church? Let's examine our own hearts this morning. You may have done nothing really wrong. That's great. But I know there's nothing good in me except for Him. And so, Father, for the part that's me, that always tries to do selfish things, I repent this morning. I want to build this church the way you want to. I want to see people's lives changed by your Spirit. And wherever you are right now, if you want to repent, begin to speak to Him right now. Come on, church, let me hear your voices. Just begin to cry out to Him. Can we sing something so that the people can speak to God? Come on, let's cry out to Him. Father, we come to you this morning in this place. Everyone has a different story. Everyone has something different going on in their lives, Lord. Father, we turn to you with all of our hearts. We repent, Father, from any unrighteousness, from any sin. Father, we know we can't even overcome a fly without you. But with you, all things are possible. With you, all things can be overcome, not because of ourselves, but because our focus is on you, our love, our desire, our passion, our heart serves you. Father, take our lives and change us. Change us, Lord. Let us really come before you this morning and let revival break out in our houses. Heal our land, Father. Heal our lives. Heal our businesses. Heal our families. Heal our city. Heal our nation, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare it this morning. Can somebody in this room give the Lord a shout this morning? Can somebody in this room give a praise this morning? Can somebody give something worthy of true repentance this morning? And so, Father, we just thank you as we go through these doctrines. I know there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But obedience is better than sacrifice. So I pray that we will obey your word with all of our hearts. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. I pray that as everyone goes this morning, they will go with the peace of God. They will be fulfilled and they will walk out with a burden lifted and broken. That the power of the enemy that desires to come against us would be destroyed because of the anointing. And so I give you thanks and praise, and I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship with the Spirit be with you all as you leave this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.